communion. Holy Bible, say this morning to Ephesians chapter
4, to continue our study through the book of Ephesians. My message title this morning is Growing Mature in Christ, Growing Mature in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 said, "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, as we've gathered here this morning, I pray for your word to sink deep into our hearts. Give us ears to hear and a heart to perceive all that you have for us. Holy Spirit, may you guide my thoughts here this morning. And Father, may the Spirit of the living God fall upon us and illuminate your word to us and convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And Father, I pray we be very attentive to your word. And Father, how shall a young man cleanse his way except by taking heed according to your word? So Lord, bless your word to our hearts here today. Father, I thank you for it. And Father, I pray I be a vessel that brings honor and glory to you and honors your son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you for being our God and ask you to bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some years ago, my family and I went up north to Maine we're enjoying the coast of Maine and went out on a lobster boat. Tim and I did, and the lobster fisherman, never been there before. And anyway, he was showing us how he sets the traps and pulling traps up and setting them. And I was intrigued. You know, I'd never been on a lobster boat before. And I was just talking with the lobster fisherman about how he does his trade and what he does. He says sometimes the lobsters will crawl in and they'll crawl out. I said, wouldn't the lobsters kind of get wise to how your traps is, because you set the same trap over and over again? And he says, once they got figured out that it was a trap and they got out, why would they ever go there again? And he just looked at me. He said, "Sir," he said, "every day is a new experience for a lobster." And I thought about that. I thought about what he said, because there is a real nugget of truth in that. And it's like the fellow I heard one time, he said that he went 12 years of school, and he was so glad he got out of the sixth grade, you know. Because some of us, we mature, because how many years you've been in the Lord, and what if you've been 30 years in the Lord, but you only had 30 one-year experiences? You just had a one-year experience 30 times, and you were no better off than you were after your first year in the Lord. You know, we want to be mature. We just don't want to have every day a whole new experience for us. Now, why do we want to be mature in the Lord? Well, do we have an enemy? Yeah, we do. Satan. And Scripture says he goes about as a roaring what? Lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Did Satan try to devour Job? Did Satan give Job a hard time? Yes. And beat him up bad. But if you read the book of Job, you get down through the middle of it there, and Job says, he makes this in statement. He says, "In the latter days, I shall see God in my flesh." He says, "I know my Redeemer what? Liveth." See, that's maturity there. You know, for Job, when things are going really bad, he lost all his livestock. He lost his children. And his wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" What did Job say? He said to his wife, "You speak as one of the," what kind of women? "Foolish women. You speak like a," he didn't call her a foolish woman. He just said, "You speak like one of the foolish women." He's very tactful. And "You speak like one of the foolish women." What did he say? God gives, and God what? Takes away. Is that Christian maturity? Yes. That is. So you want maturity because you're going to live in a world that not everything goes good for you. Your wife can walk out on you. I've known men that's happened to them. How do you handle that? You know, I've known women that their husbands have left them. Christian women. How do you handle that? You know, Satan wants to devour you, but what you want to do is be strong in your faith and be mature. Because when spiritual trials and troubles come to you, you can keep on the straight and narrow path. Maturity, it's important. In our culture today, we have young men, 20, 25, 30. I heard of this one fellow, 36 years old, still living in his parents' basement, playing video games and not going to work. His parents had to take him to court to get him to leave the house. Now, if you're 36 years old and you're still living in your parents' basement, is that a problem? That's a huge problem. Somehow that man's never matured and took the next step in life to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you ought not to what? Eat. Is that good theology there? That's good theology. If you're not willing to work, you shouldn't eat. But maturity, can a society and a culture be crippled by people who aren't mature? Can a church be crippled by people who aren't mature in their faith? It sure can be. A church can be crippled. Well, God gives us some things here. Now, God wants us to be mature. Now, maturity has a goal in mind. It's an end product. Now, God wants us to be mature in Christ. What's the end product look like if we're mature in Christ? We're like who? We're like Christ. It's very simple. If you're mature in Christ, you're going to look like Him. It used to be this bracelet. What would Jesus do? You remember those? I remember years ago, I was at this meeting, and this guy had this bracelet on, and I thought he must have been a Christian. So during the break time, I started engaging. I found out pretty quick he wasn't a Christian. So I asked him about, why do you wear that bracelet? He said, oh, my granddaughter gave that to me. I just put it on to think of her. And I said, well, it makes sense now, but I realized pretty quick he wasn't a Christian after I got talking to him. But for a true Christian, what would Jesus do? That's where we want to be. We want to be like Him, mature. Mature. Now, we want to have the right priorities in life. We want to stand confident and firm in the will of God. We don't want to buckle under pressure. So what has God given us here for maturity? Well, the provisions of servant leadership. Look in verse 11. The provision, first point, provision of servant leadership. Verse 11, and He, that's Christ Himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. We want to talk about this. Jesus Christ said, I will build my what? Church. Is a local church important? It is. Local church is very important. That's God's plan for world evangelism, the local church. And a true spirit-filled believer needs to find a local church they can worship God in spirit and in truth. God has a plan for every believer to be in a local church, to be involved. He gives them. Now, what does God give us to help His people? He gave some to be apostles. Those are sent ones. Now, there's two different kinds of apostles, apostles of Christ and apostles of the church. The apostles of Christ would be the 12 disciples were the apostles of Christ. Paul was one. You had to see the risen Lord to be apostle of Christ. Paul, on the road to Damascus, he saw who? The risen Lord. He saw Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Are there any apostles today? No, no. I have seen men who call themselves apostles. I've seen their advertisements, and I just chuckle. I said, you did not see Jesus Christ risen from the dead. I guarantee you that. And anybody calls them, there are no apostles today, because that office has faded away. They were not replaced after the apostles went on to be home with the Lord. The apostles laid the foundation of the church. They gave us the scriptures. They gave us the doctrines. Turn to Acts chapter 2 here for a moment and just look at what the apostles did for us. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those that had gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? What's that next word? In verse 42, apostles' what?
Doctrine.
Doctrine, that's teaching. That's what the apostles gave us. They gave us the word of God. Is the canon of Scripture, is Scripture closed today? Yes, it's closed. Once the apostles, the word of God is given to us, there's no more Scripture being produced. We have Genesis, we have Revelation, we have the word of God, the four gospels, we have the Pentateuch, we have complete word of God. The word of God has been completed. But that's what the apostles were. They gave the word of the Lord to the church. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. So, verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Now, are there prophets today? No, there's not prophets today in this New Testament. There are people prophets can foretell the future. Remember Agabus that came to Paul and said, "Don't, you know, whoever man owns this, this girdle, they'll be girded, you're going to be bound in Jerusalem." He was telling Paul what was going to happen in the future. That was a prophetic gift in that time of the New Testament church for the local church. Now, why were there prophets? Was the word of God completed at that time? No, it was not. People that assembled that were saved, they needed the prophets to help them understand the word of the Lord, what God was saying, already ordained by the apostles. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets. The office of prophets is closed today. Some evangelists. What's the office of evangelism? That is somebody that God ordained that had the gift of evangelism to preach the gospel and bring people into the kingdom of God. They had the anointed ministry. They'd get somebody saved, and they would go to the next person to get them saved, and the next person. They had the gift of evangelism. Is that happening today? Absolutely. The gift of evangelists. Gifted people that God calls to bring men and women, boys and girls that don't know Christ into a relationship with Christ. Now, if you look in verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some. Now, the next two words are pastor, teacher. That's not a separate office. Pastor slash teacher, some pastor teachers. What's the word pastor mean? What's that mean? Shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Shepherd sheep. And the pastor's job is to help the sheep, the body of Christ, to shepherd them, to guide them. Some pastors and teachers. The pastor would shepherd them. The pastor would teach them. One office, two descriptions of the same office. So, provision of servant leadership. These people served the body of Christ to help the church that God was building through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now, that is provision of leadership. Should a New Testament born-again believer in Christ have a local church they're part of? Yes or no?
Yes.
They should. Absolutely, they should. You cannot be right with God and forsake the local assembly of believers. God has a local church. He has ordained the office of these men to help the body of believers. Now, we have the provision of servant leadership. These people serve God's people. They serve God and serve God's people. What is the purpose of servant leadership that God gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors? Why did he give them? Look at verse 12. What was the purpose of servant leadership? For the equipping of the who?
Saints.
Any saints here today?
Yes.
Absolutely, there's some saints here today. J. Vernon McGee said, the saints and the ain'ts. You're either one or the other. Either you're saved or you're not saved. And, it's a saint is not somebody that's got a halo and a picture, around their head, and they just under the light beams of God, so to speak, the sunbeam. We're saints. We're the people of God. We're the ones that Jesus Christ died for. Equipping of the saints. What does that mean? Equipping of the saints. Does God want us to be mature believers? He does. Why do we hear the preaching of God's word? That's how the saints of God are equipped. That's how we get our equipment to serve, love, follow Him. We're being equipped. And why are the saints being equipped? For the work of what? Ministry. Huh? Pastor, I thought that's what we paid you to do. No, I'm to equip. Who's supposed to do the work? Saints of God are supposed to do the work. For the work of the ministry. You have relationships that I don't have with people. You know people that I don't know. And God has a ministry for you in the body of Christ. Now, we have some gifted musicians in our church. I am so thankful for them. I just play the radio. That's all I play. And even then, that gets static sometimes, okay? I am blessed beyond measure for gifted musicians. Is that a blessing to the body of Christ? It is. And in the body of Christ, we can minister one to in all kinds of ways. If you're a Sunday school teacher. Now, the work of the ministry is ongoing. When do we rest as God's people? Is there coming a day of rest for us? When is that rest? Yeah, when God takes us home. We don't rest right now. The ministry is continuing for the work of the ministry. Now, how can I serve God? What are some ways that for the work of the ministry, the purpose of servant leadership is equipping saints for the work of the ministry. Well, a person gets saved, they believe on Christ. If you don't get saved, where do you go when you die? Where do you go? Boy, that sounded so weak. Where do you go? You go to hell. If you're not saved, that's your destiny. Why? Because you're a sinner. And why are you a sinner? Because you've broken God's law. There's none of us that are good as God. I can find people better than me. I can find people worse than me. But they're not the standard. God is the standard. And did you know our God's a perfect God? And He demands righteousness from each of us. Have you ever broken God's laws? Have you ever lied? You ever stolen something? You ever use God's name in vain? That's only three. And if you're standing before God and He would judge you by the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? Guilty? Nobody can pass that test. And if you're guilty, heaven or hell? It's hell. So what do we do? God is righteous. He demands righteousness, but what does He provide? Righteousness. How does He provide righteousness for us? Through who?
Jesus
Christ. We can be saved from our sins. Now, God saves us, but I got a question for you. If God saved you, why did He leave you here? Why are you here? If you're saved and you know God, why are you here? Why didn't He just take you to heaven? Wouldn't that have been a much better deal if He just took you to heaven? Been a lot better place, wouldn't it? But He left you here for what?
Tell others.
To love others, to serve others. He left you here for a reason. And that's called, look here, what does verse 12 say again? For the equipping of the saints for the work of what?
Ministry.
Has God got something for you to do? He does. Can you be a prayer warrior in your closet for the kingdom of God? Is that a ministry?
Yep.
That is a huge ministry. I remember hearing a story about D.L. Moody. And there was two older ladies in a church in England that just had a dead church. And they heard about D.L. Moody in America, what great revivals he was having. And they said to each other, Oh, we wish God would send D.L. Moody to England. Because they had a burden for souls. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, God, send D.L. Moody. Well, one day, somebody came home, and this is providence of God, said to these two old ladies, did you know D.L. Moody is preaching in church here this morning? They said, oh, I didn't know. They were elderly. They couldn't get out. They didn't know. And they begged God, and D.L. Moody went that morning and preached in church. He said it was just as dead as can be. He said nothing moved, nothing happened. He was kind of this evening. He was coming back. He was dreading to go back to that church. He said it's just going to be, he just felt a wall there. He said in the evening he preached, and he said God just showed up. He said it was amazing. He said this power of God was there. And D.L. Moody found out later those two old women were praying all afternoon that God would show up. Can there be a ministry of prayer? Can you have a secret prayer closet that you know and God knows that you pray for the work of the ministry? The Apostle Paul, one time in Scripture, he said, brethren, pray for me. Now, that's the Apostle Paul who's called up to what? The third heavens. Where do we stand? Can we pray for one another for the work of the ministry? You know, the work of the ministry, how about giving a testimony for Christ? I can remember when I was young in the Lord and I worked at this company called Aerofin Corporation. And I would try to share Christ with the men that I worked with. And some would listen. Some got mad because they were wicked men. And I kind of broke up their stories sometimes because I didn't laugh at them. And then I'd talk about Christ and righteousness and things of God. And I can remember one time this guy got really mad because the thing that happened over time, everybody knew where I stood. So when I came to work in the crew, all of a sudden their language would change or they'd get quiet or they'd feel awkward because I was kind of the wet blanket of righteousness that kind of showed up. Do you know what I'm saying? And I remember this one guy, he came up, his name was Al, and he goes, I know how I can make you shut up. And I was just like, and he's a big guy in the shipping department. He goes, you know, I'm tired of hearing about Christ and sin and getting saved. He said, you see this 2x4 here? He says, I want you to shut up. And it was just me and Al, and all the guys are standing at us here. So I'm looking at Al, and he's looking at me. And I said, Al, I said, you can hit me at that 2x4, but I'm telling you this, I'm not being quiet about Christ. And they, you ever have a moment of silence? Big Al looked at me. I looked at him. He looked at me. I looked at him. It seemed like eternity to me. And Big Al put that 2x4 down. And I tell you what happened after that. Every time I talked about Christ, everybody got quiet. And they listened. Because why? They knew I believed what I believed. You understand what I'm saying? The work of the ministry isn't just here in church. It's where you live and who you talk to. And the work of the ministry is God's kingdom moving forward. And I say that because I want to equip you to be more bold in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need some people going to be bold in Christ because what if you had protesters show up outside your house and wanting you to change your decision like the Supreme Court justices? Intimidating them. Do you give in to the crowds? Do you give in and just fold up? How did the apostles here, did they give in? Did they fold up? The prophets, the evangelists of old? What about the saints of God who were told, you know, just take a little incense and say Caesar is Lord, and you get your paper, and you're good to go. The saints in New Testament time, they say, I can't do that. Jesus is what? Lord. Caesar isn't a god. I'm not worshiping him. That's idolatry. And they wouldn't do it. And if they wouldn't do it, guess where they ended up? In the Colosseum. As sport for the spectators. And when the lions came to them and they took that bravely, was that a testimony? Was that a testimony? They sealed with what? Their own blood. See, the work of the ministry is something God wants us to do. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints. Are you equipped? Because, yes, you're saved. But do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body? Do you have secret prayer? Do you love the scriptures? I don't understand how people say, I love Jesus, but they don't love the word of God and follow it. The word was made what? Flesh and what? Dwelt among us. If you love Jesus, you're going to love the word. And if you love the word, you're going to obey the word. You know, we're saved. We should love the scriptures and have secret prayer. And we should have obedience. And not only obedience, but sanctified obedience. We surrender to God's will. See, when it comes to maturity, you've got to think through sometimes. Now, I have heard people preach, God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, is that good doctrine or poor doctrine? That's poor doctrine. Tell that to Job. Yeah, go tell Job that God wants you healthy and wealthy and wise. Tell that to Paul when he was shipwrecked and spent a day and a night in the deep and was, you know, had lashes 40 times save one, 39. Tell him that God wanted him to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. See, maturity says, well, look at it this way. Turn to Acts 14:22 here for a minute. This is the mature believer. Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. I'll back up to verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel in the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. Verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many, what's that next word? Tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Maturity says, God, I know this is the right thing to do. I'm going to do it no matter how hard it is, but it's the right thing to do because one day I'm going to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, maturity looks at our Savior, Jesus Christ. Was it easy for him to go to the cross? Yes or no? Did he do that for us because it was the right thing to do? He did because that was his Father's will. And in our Christian life, maturity says, I'm going to do what's right because it's right to do no matter how hard it is to do it. There was a time in Paul's life when Paul said, no man stood with me. How about that? You feel all alone. But was it the right thing? Absolutely. He gave himself some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Are you equipped? Are you a mature believer? Are you equipped? Well, let me just ask you this morning. Let's just run down a few things here. Are you maintaining, if you're an equipped believer, are you maintaining your spiritual life? Do you have a secret prayer time with God in your closet? Prayer time. Do you have that regularly, every day with God? I'm not saying how long, it's different for everybody, but you have a set time at a set place that you and God meet. Because if you're not, you're not equipping yourself. Do you have time that you're in the scriptures and you're reading the scriptures and you're praying over the scriptures and you're looking at the scriptures and thinking about what does God have to say to me today? Because that's how you get equipped. I know a lady, and I'm going to tell you this, and my wife knows who I'm talking about. I knew this lady one time, a pastor's wife. She said that she stopped having devotion, she stopped praying, and she started listening to the wrong music, and she ended up committing adultery on her husband. And she traced it back to her lack of devotion time. That's where the cliff went off. She got away. Equipping. How do we get equipped? It's day by day. We come before God because the equipping of the saints, God wants you to feed on Him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word what? That proceeds out of what? The mouth of God. You know, it's a strange thing. If you stop feeding yourself physically, you just get more and more hungry. If you stop feeding yourself spiritually, your appetite goes away. It's the opposite. Isn't that funny how that works? And the best thing to do is stay on it. Equipping of the saints. You're saved. You're in the Word, Scripture. You have salvation, Scripture. You have secret prayer. You have sanctified obedience because you love God. You're going to enter in the kingdom of God. And when you're equipped to serve God, there comes a point in your life when you're equipped that you surrender to God. What did Jesus say in the garden? Not my will, but what? Thine will be done. That's a surrendered servant to God. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I can just think of people that surrender to God, and I can think of two pastors right now. Their thing was, they knew God wanted them to do something, but the last thing they thought God would ever have them do is to be a preacher and to preach God's word and to stand before people. But God never calls you for what He doesn't equip you to do. And when God calls us, what is that surrendered life is? The surrendered life is one, Lord, I don't know how you want me to do this. I can't do it. But I'm going to do it because you want me to do it. That's surrendered life. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please Him. For all that come to God must believe that He is, and He's what? A rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. Provision of servant leadership, the purpose of servant leadership, the process of maturing in Christ. Are you a mature believer? There is so much here we could talk about. I mean, we didn't talk about so many other things in the Christian faith. So many things we could talk about here. But my question to you, are you a mature believer in Christ, or have you had 31-year experiences? If somebody was to ask you, tell me how I can know the Lord, would you have a good answer for them? Could you open your Bible and go through the plan of salvation? Have you ever led somebody to the Lord? Have you ever been faithful in your giving to God? We didn't even talk about that whole arena there of sacrificial giving to God. God wants us. Now, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means building up the body of Christ, the church, the local body, till we all come to the unity of the faith. We're one in the knowledge of the Son of God. We know everything about Jesus Christ, the Scriptures, to a perfect, mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We reflect who He is, that we should no longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's what immaturity will do to you. By the trickery of men, men manipulate you to get out of you what they want, using you, and you can't discern enough to know that Satan has energized these men, that they have cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Let's be mature believers in Christ. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we considered this topic of maturity, May each of us in our own lives, in different areas, move toward maturity, Lord. For some of us, we're just starting out and just getting a handle on the scriptures and the great doctrines of the faith and developing our prayer life and having our secret prayer time with you each day. For others of us, it's being a servant to others and helping the body of Christ and ministering one to another and loving one another and visiting people and sharing the word of the Lord and having a testimony and being a witness and giving out of our resources so that the kingdom of God can move forward. Father, may each of us consider our own lives and how mature we are in Christ. Father, some of us have to relearn the lessons we once learned. But Lord, may we apply them to our lives and not just know about them, but walk in them. So help us toward this end, Father. We might be mature believers in Christ and to know your ways and to please you. That, Lord, that when we stand before you one day, we may hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.